I will come back to that scene of Jesus in the temple in a moment, but I want to talk first about the Ten Commandments. And when I was thinking about the Ten Commandments and preaching today, what came into my mind except the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark? Now, I've realized that some of you, I realize how old I'm getting. Some of you are too young to have seen this movie, and some of you may be older than me, and you were busy doing other things at the time. So let me summarize. Raiders of the Lost Ark, it's taking place during the time of World War II. Men from the government come to talk to Professor Indiana Jones. They're trying to find the Ark of the Covenant containing the tablets with the Ten Commandments. They want to have the power of the Ark under their control rather than letting the Nazis have it. I think I was 12 when the first Raiders movie was released. This movie, it did two things for me. It gave me the most information I had about the Ten Commandments, which of course was not a lot. It also caused me to want to be an archaeologist, a desire that stayed with me for a number of years. The government men didn't seem to know much about this Ark and the Ten Commandments. This happens right toward the beginning of the film. Indiana Jones says to them, "Didn't you guys ever go to Sunday school?" Well, the children in our Sunday school were studying and discussing the Ten Commandments just last week. They were given this really cool study guide where they got all 10 on one tablet, which is pretty impressive. And, you know, in words the kids can relate to, maybe a little bit better than what we read from Scripture today, which, of course, was written for adults, really. Some of the things on this sheet say, put God first, worship only God, use God's name with respect, remember the Sabbath, respect your parents, don't hurt others. And I'll stop there. You get the idea. Shorter, more clear perhaps, and, you know, in a form we can understand. This is what we all want to be doing, right? Having a form of what we're looking at that we can understand in a way that relates to our lives. Knowing the Ten Commandments, knowing what they are, important for a number of reasons. We prayed them today. We prayed the Decalogue, as we call it. And after every commandment, we said, Amen, Lord, have mercy, which means, yes, may it be so. And have mercy on us, God, because we don't always get these things right. In the movie, everyone is searching for the Ark with the Ten Commandments because they want the power of God for themselves. Their purpose, a dubious plan to be sure, does not work out as they had hoped. Thankfully, we do not have to go on an archaeological dig to access God's power given to us through the Ten Commandments. And there is power in God's commandments to us. In the psalm that we sang today, we heard a grateful response to those statutes, guidance, rules, the Ten Commandments. There's power to help us know how to relate to God, and that's important, how to relate to God and then how to relate to each other. There's nothing magical about it, and if you've seen the movie Raiders of the Lost Ark or will see it, there's a lot in there that does not happen with the Ten Commandments, okay? It's not magic. In fact, it takes consistent devotion to God and attention to the spiritual resources given to us, as well, I would say, as a curiosity about what these commandments mean for us in our time, in our lives. So what do we think about them? Did you memorize them when you were a child? Have you thought much about them since that time? The specifics of the words are important, but memorizing them is not enough. We need to dig into them, see behind them and around them what's related and how they relate to us. The big picture, having that, enables us to call these words God's gift to us and power for our lives. How is that? In part, it gives us power to see what really matters. For example, the Sabbath. Holy. Know that it's holy. Know that it's set apart for you, for us, for me, as a gift. When all in our society tells us every day is the same. It's all about working, proving yourself. You better be productive. Rest. Rest is important. Knowing God's love, care, and grace, and then making a response, that is what the Ten Commandments are all about. And we hear God say in the scripture, in the preface to the commandments, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. The one giving you these commandments is God, who freed you from oppression. This is the God who seeks to give you life, even when all around you is death. As the people waited in the desert to enter the promised land, God was trying to prepare them for their new lives of freedom. We always, and it's true, I mean, we think of freedom as a good thing, and it is, but it puts more responsibility on us. So God's trying to help the people as they prepare for that. So we might take the Ten Commandments and consider how they apply to our lives, to our circumstances. Who is God for you, and who are you seeking to be for God? How do we put God first? What other things in our lives seem to vie for our attention, those potential idols? How are we observing the Sabbath in our busy world? But of course, and this is really important, it's not just a list, and it's not even so much a list of do's and don'ts, as it is a way of putting all of life in context, a context in which our attentiveness to God and our actions in the world, the way we relate to others, those two things are so connected, and the commandments make this clear. One commentator, Craig Kotcher, in his commentary, he puts it well. He states, there is an internal logic to the commandments that is both compelling and beautiful. The way we attend to our God, tablet one, shapes the way we attend to our neighbor, tablet two. In other words, faithful worship of God leads to proper love of neighbor. Proper praise of God shapes our social responsibility. Good theology is good ethics. For example, having no other gods before me means that money, sex, and power will not wiggle their way into the altars of our lives. I love the way he puts that. Wiggle their way into the altars of our lives, and thus will not be used to exploit others. Keeping the Sabbath is a reminder that all of creation is a gift, and we have a responsibility to be stewards of it. Honoring father and mother reminds us that we are not self-made, that we stand on the shoulders of others. And as I read that comment from Craig, the commentator, I was struck by this weekend. This is the weekend that we're honoring our mothers and fathers who fought for civil rights for this nation as we remember Selma, the 50th anniversary of the events of that time, which had a large role in bringing about the Voting Rights Act of 1965. We honor them by continuing to seek justice for all in our nation and in the world as it depends on us. Following God's commandments and taking them seriously might cause us to offend some. Mark Osler spoke of this last Sunday quite powerfully. When we offend, people are maybe not going to be so pleased with us. We may be called to challenge people. We're certainly not called to be passive. Jesus showed us this. And we hear Jesus speaking about the commandments. In the 12th chapter of Mark's gospel, one of the scribes comes near. He heard them disputing with one another, and seeing this, the scribe asked Jesus, which commandment is first of all? Jesus answered, the first is, and we said this already today, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. Jesus gives the Shema, that foundation of Judaism, and then says, the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And as Jesus goes about his life, we see what following those commandments can look like in action, in context for him in his time and place. When Jesus saw the commerce happening in the temple, he was angry. Now, so often people try to push away anger or try to bury it within themselves. I think some of us are taught that as Christians, we should not get angry. We should always be loving and understanding. Well, sometimes being loving and compassionate means that we will be angry when we see injustice and hurtful behavior. Don't be angry is not one of the Ten Commandments, right? Anger, like all of our emotions, gives us insight into what's going on with us and our world, and maybe a message God's trying to give us. And being real about what we feel inside helps us to meet God there, God who is already waiting there for us in what is real, in what is now, in this moment. So all emotions can help us. We can befriend them, even when they scare us, even when we have tapes running in our minds saying, you shouldn't be angry. Emotions are neither good nor bad. They just are. It's never sinful to have a feeling. It's what we do next. That is when a moral or ethical choice may be involved. Consider this situation with Jesus in the temple. He's angry. He's angry and he acts. What if he hadn't acted? Wouldn't that have been a sin more than acting, right? Passivity is like a sin of omission, as we call it. Some have used this account in the Gospels to justify all sorts of violence, so I want to look at that for a second. But that's not what's happening here. Jesus is actually doing a non-violent action. Yes, it does involve making some commotion, but no person is injured. Anger can be a righteous response to situations that are just wrong or not fair or unjust. Jesus saw the money changers as offending against God in a number of ways. In part, it's thought that they weren't treating the people fairly in their dealings, money gouging. Perhaps Jesus was angry about the entire temple system of requiring people to change their money there in the temple for coins without the emperor's image. Now, the important thing to note here is this was correct behavior. I mean, they couldn't use coins with somebody else's image on it, the image of the emperor, in their spiritual dealings. But did they have to do it there? I think Jesus thought not. They had to change the coins in order to buy the required bird or animal for the required sacrifice, and that was normal. So Jesus wasn't shocked by any of this, and that's worth noting. Maybe it had finally gotten to him as he was feeling more and more his call, more and more who he was. This was a system supported by the religious authorities, but Jesus indicates that it's distracting people from God. This was a system that had been in place for a long time, but Jesus challenged it because he didn't see it as being in tune with the commandments of God that he knew. And these commandments, in that sense, gave him power, power to act. During this season of Lent, we've been considering a theme. I've been suggesting that a way of approaching or viewing Lent might be this way of seeing it as a time of making space for God, to plant seeds of grace that can germinate, as the altar linen is showing, that can germinate during Lent so that by Easter we're seeing some real growth. How do the Ten Commandments make space for God to plant seeds of grace in your life? Is there one that really speaks to you today? Is there one that you desire to spend some time with God? How can these commandments have power for us? Let us pray. We thank you, God, for giving us these commandments and everything that we need to grow in faith, everything that we need to know you more and more, so that we're able to serve you and others as you would have us do. Help us to love you with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. Amen.